need to know who we are. And we should never forget where we came from. And so last week we looked at part one. And we saw from like the 13th century all the way to the 18th century. There were groups of individuals. There were individuals and groups in different places who stood up against the church of that day during the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, in which they weren't following the Bible and they wanted to. These are just some of them up there, and many of them lost their lives because they stood up for the Bible and the Bible only. And if you remember, we found out in part one that the protest of the German princes played a huge role in the Protestant Reformation succeeding. Frankly, I didn't know that. And this is a quote from Duvenet's World History, Christian World History. He wrote this: "Well has the day been pronounced, that day when the Protestant, six Protestant princes stood up to the Emperor Charles V and the whole regalia of his as well as the Roman Catholic Church and said, we will not bend from the Bible and the Bible alone. And Duvenet wrote this: well has the day been pronounced, the greatest day of the Reformation and the one of the most glorious in the history of Christianity and of mankind. That's what history says about this event. And this is where we came from, my friends. Look at this very carefully. Who are we? First of all, we are Seventh-day Adventist Protestant reformers. We're a continuation of a long line of reformers. We don't all of a sudden stand alone. We're part of a movement that started in the 13th century to preserve religious freedom. And so today we now want to look at part two called Pilgrim's Progress Regression. That doesn't make sense, does it? So let's do this. Pilgrim's Regression. Let me show you what I'm talking about. First of all, let's look at Revelation, the 12th chapter. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Revelation, the 12th chapter. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16. Children, you got your Bibles? Open them up. Just got four verses here we want to look at. And this sets the stage for the rest of the sermon today. So take your Bibles, open them up to Revelation, the 12th chapter. Now, you know, in Revelation 12, here's the history of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. And when we get to the end of this chapter, we are now looking at the conclusion, the last days of Earth's history. Notice what it says here, starting with verse 13. It says, "Now the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." Okay, the dragon is who? The dragon is who?
Satan.
Satan. And the woman with child is? The church. And the child, of course, is Jesus. "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, time and a half a time from the presence of the serpent." So during the Dark Ages, during those reformers standing up, the church, the true church of God, was in the wilderness, being protected by him from Satan, the dragon. But then look at verse 15. "So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth." Now, You know, those of you who have attended our prophecy seminar know that the time and a half of time is 1,260 years of papal domination during the Dark Ages. And when that time period was up in 1798, then all kinds of wonderful things happened. Towards the end, the dragon was angry because he could not control these reformers. So he spewed water out of his mouth to try to inundate and to drown out the voices of assent that were calling attention to the Bible and the Bible only. What in the world does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you something. Take a look at the map and that little boat down there in the corner. And what do you think of? The Pilgrims. That's right. That's the Mayflower. And by the way, the Speedwell was supposed to go with it, but it was too leaky. So the only boat that went was the Mayflower. And I got a question for you. Be very careful. Where did the Mayflower set sail from? Where? Come on, where did it? By the way, it says London. That's not correct. You know that. You're going to say Plymouth? Plymouth, England. Right? You're wrong. Yeah, who said that? Who said Holland? Whoa. Do you know they left from Holland, from the Dutch Republic? The Mayflower sailed with their group to Plymouth, restocked, and then took off on their trip. And so you ask, why in the world did they leave from Holland if they were English Puritans, which we call Pilgrims? This is King James the First. What is he known for? The King James Bible. At that time, the English reformers, while renouncing the Protestant doctrines of Romanism, had retained many of the forms. And King James demanded that attendance upon the service of the church was required by law, and unauthorized assemblies for religious worship were prohibited under the penalty of imprisonment, exile, and death. They were hunted, persecuted, and imprisoned in England while they were Protestant. Did you know that? The great King James, who authorized the King James Bible, demanded that everybody goes to his church. And if you don't and have an assembly anywhere else, you're under the penalty of death. And so they fled to Holland to find freedom of religion from persecution. And while they were there, they were under the charge of a pastor. Do you know his name? Pastor Robinson. And they decided they wanted to go to the New World and set up their own republic where they can have freedom of religion. The Pilgrims. I mean, come on, you guys. You read that. Can you imagine God coming to Abraham in all of his opulence? His father was very wealthy and said, by the way, son, I want you to move. Do you know back then nobody moved? There was no Allied van line. It's like, what? Yes, I want you away from these idolaters. I'm moving you to a location I'll indicate. And when you're there, I'll make you a blessing. And you know the Bible says Abraham said, yes. And so he had to leave everything, I guess, except what he could put on a camel. They had to leave absolutely everything. They had to leave their homes. And by the way, no selling of their homes. They were under persecution because they wanted to worship according to their conscience and according to the Bible. So they didn't sell their house. They had to leave their houses. They had to leave their occupation. They went to Holland. And then somehow they heard about the United States of America. And they decided, we're going to go there. Now, folks, the dragon spewed water out of his mouth. Now, in the Bible prophecy, water stands for multitudes, nations, kingdoms, tongues. And at that time, in control was the Roman Catholic Church. And so when persecution reached the point where Protestant England was acting just like Rome, the people decided they needed a place that they could go to with safety. And that was the United States of America, which at that time was nothing but wilderness and the Native Americans. And so here's what Robinson said to them. And I want you to hear this. Young people, listen what he said to them. He said this: I charge you before God to follow me no farther than I have followed Christ. If God should reveal anything to you by any other instrument of His, God's, be ready to receive it as ever you were to receive a truth from my ministry. For I am very confident the Lord has more truth and light yet to come forth out of the Holy Word. Then he went on to say the Lutherans, they stayed right where Luther was. And he said the Calvinists, they stayed right where Calvin comes. And he said to them, I'm telling you, there are other truths God has. And if they come from the Bible, you're to accept them, even though your cultural heritage may not have been in that way. And by the way, I want you to know the pilgrims, before they left, signed a covenant agreeing to that thought. But notice how deeply rooted Romanish worship was, even in the Protestant mind. That England would be Protestant and yet force worship according to the state understanding or according to the king's whim instead of what the Bible said. Well, let's take a look at this regression. Yet honest and God-fearing as they were, the pilgrims did not yet comprehend the great principle of religious liberty. The doctrine that God has committed to the church the right to control the conscience and to define and punish heresy is one of the most deeply rooted of papal errors. But those seeds were in those faithful men, women, and children who left everything to come to an unknown land. How many of you would have gotten on the Mayflower? I wouldn't have. Are you crazy? I mean, they were going into uncharted waters. By the way, if you want to go on the internet, put down Mayflower, and they'll show you how they packed those people in there. 106 of them on that boat, and about, I've forgotten now, 50 of them were pilgrims. And off they came, but they had seeds in their heart. And so, first, when they got there to the colonies, here's what they decided. You ready? That only church members should have a voice in the civil government. That means you can't vote and you can't hold office. unless you go to church. I'm so glad they left all to come to this land where they could have religious freedom. And then, are you getting it? Yeah, me too. Listen, when I read this, it startled me. I thought, we need to know where we came from. Check this out. Secondly, all the people being required to contribute support to the clergy. Pastor Johnson, isn't that a good idea? Huh? I mean, this was enforced by the civil laws. Not by the church. And finally, thirdly, the magistrates were authorized to suppress heresy. Thus, the secular power was in the hands of the church. These are the very things that Robertson warned them about, Pastor Robertson. And finally, the last one is this. I hope this startles you like it did me. It was not long before these measures led to the inevitable result of persecution. Hard to believe? Check this out. 11 years after, in 1620, the Mayflower landed in the United States, or, you know, on the North American continent, in November, I thought, did anybody tell them about summer, winter? 11 years later, Roger Williams shows up. And Roger Williams was appalled that they had such rules. And it says here, Roger was the first person in modern Christendom to establish civil government on the doctrine of liberty of conscience, the equality of opinions before the law. He declared it to be the duty of the magistrates to refrain crime, but never to control the conscience. So what did they do? The application of this new doctrine, it was urged, would subvert the fundamental state and government of the country. He was sentenced to banishment from the colonies. And finally, to avoid arrest, he was forced to flee. Get this. Amidst the cold and storm of winter in an unbroken forest. Persecution. They didn't like what he was thinking and saying. Guy, 14 weeks he wandered in the freezing cold, sleeping in hollow logs. He said he was fed by ravens. We don't know what that means, but he subsisted until God brought him in contact with the Indians who treated him like a human being. Those seeds were in there, folks. What seeds do we have inside us? Listen, our culture today is strong. And from the very highest levels of educational circles, the Bible is ridiculed. Like people like the Seventh-day Adventists are referred to as literalists. They really believe what the Bible says. And by the way, it appears to be fewer and fewer people that believe this. And so, the regulations adopted by the early colonists of permitting only members of the church to vote and to hold office in civil government led to the most pernicious results. By the way, evil results. Bad results. This measure has been accepted as the means of preserving the purity of the state, but it results in corruption of the church. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, the argument in England was, you know, our worship service is very close to the Romanists, and maybe that will placate them a little bit and we can all get along better? No. The result will always be compromise of any kind from what the Bible teaches. It will corrupt the church, not convert the world. We are told that over and over again, young people. You've got to know your Bibles. And when you preach, you've got to understand we're trying to reach people who honestly don't know this history. They don't really know where we came from. Do you realize that not long ago, a Protestant parents would teach their children the evils of the papal system, not the people. Hear me? Did you hear me? The system. And now the Protestant church is flocking to Rome. And so when you stand up to preach and you share the truths of the Bible, you are saving souls from death. We must know our Bibles and we must stand for principle. Well, I want you to know that the Declaration of Independence, the founding fathers agreed with Roger Williams. For in the beautiful Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I wish we acted more like that. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the Constitution guarantees in the most explicit terms the inviolability of conscience. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. They agreed with Roger Williams. And folks, I would say this, and it's, we knew this from the book of Revelation. After 9/11, things changed drastically in this country. Slowly but surely, our freedoms are being shrunk. And pretty soon, religious persecution, according to Revelation, will start again. And so, when we preach, it must be from the Bible. And we must share these hard, difficult truths that hurt some people's feelings in a loving way, so that they can know what we know. That God is coming very soon. Jesus is returning very soon. Satan knows that his time is short, the book of Revelation says. Therefore, he's doing everything he can to pervert and prevent the truth from being preached. So, who are we? We are not just Seventh-day Adventists. We are Protestant reformers that believe and teach the Bible doctrine of separation of church and state. In other words, religious freedom and freedom of conscience to worship God the way you choose. But for us, the Bible dictates. And so who are we? We've got a mission and a message. And next week, we're going to meet more fully who we are in a dramatic way. So my friends, ponder these thoughts, look at your Bible, read the book of Revelation, and see for yourself that God is warning his people, the end is soon, he's coming. And he's coming to get those who are ready to welcome him. I want to be there. Do you? Raise your hand if you want to be there. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Remember this. Every physical act supporting a mental thought reinforces it. That's why we have calls asking people to come forward. But don't be afraid to raise your hand. For God has something special for us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for enlightening our minds on who we are as we look at where we came from. And Father, I know some of these utterances are even offensive to certain individuals. They're not meant to be. But out of the depth of my heart, I see the lateness of the hour. I'm convicted that we need to preach more clearly, but lovingly, what your Bible states. So, Lord, bless each one within earshot of this sermon. Even those who will watch it online later. That you would touch them with your Spirit and help them to make decisions according to your will. Adjustments according to your will that will bring all of us closer to you. This is my prayer for all of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, let's stand together and sing our closing hymn. See, we are pilgrims, but we are also strangers. Remember, before I have our closing prayer, the elders and the pastors will be up front for any of you who would like to have prayer of any kind for anything. We're here for you. Let us pray. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and when they do, I will bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.